Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Ash Wednesday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has gained eternal life for us, dear fellow redeemed, it's understandable that the unbelieving world looks upon the crucifixion of Jesus as deeply disturbing. And they don't understand the meaning behind the cross of Christ. When people die, people in the world usually say, "You lose somebody. She lost her battle with cancer. He lost his fight with muscular sclerosis. Soldiers lost their lives in battle. We lost a loved one through a car accident." But when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't lose. He won. He conquered Satan. He gave his body and blood as the full punishment for all of our sins and satisfied God's justice. He's the atoning sacrifice, payment in full to God for all of our sins, and set us free from Satan's control and death's grip. The resurrection of Christ just beautifully portrays his victory. So Jesus' death upon the cross gained, earned for us forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation, and his victory just assures us that that victory, his resurrection assures us that that victory is ours. Listen to Isaiah's words, and you tell me if this is a loss for us. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We gain peace and healing through Jesus' suffering and death. We do not lose. And this evening, and throughout this Lenten season, our Wednesday night Lenten theme echoes that very thought. Who gains from the cross? During this Lenten season, we'll be looking at certain individuals who were there present at the cross of Jesus some almost 2,000 years ago and see how they personally, individually gained from the cross of Jesus. We'll see how Jesus' mother Mary and John and Peter and Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, the soldiers, and even Barabbas gained from Jesus' cross. But this evening from our sermon text, we'll see how this repentant thief on the cross also gained from Jesus' cross. The two men that were hanging there, one on the left, one on the right of Jesus, belonged there. They deserved to be on the crosses upon which they were hanging. They were described as criminals. They had done some crimes for which they were judged to be guilty. In fact, one of the thieves even said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." We know there are robbers or thieves. Perhaps there are much more. Maybe murderers. Maybe insurrectionists. And they're judged to be guilty. They're recognized by the law to be guilty, and therefore the punishment of the cross. Before God and before man, they were judged to have lost their way and deserve this punishment. When the thief's partner began to join the crowd in that cruel mockery of Christ, he piped up and he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." Looking at Jesus' silent suffering, hearing the accusations the crowd threw at Christ, and listening to Jesus' amazing prayer of forgiveness for his murderers, that thief realized that this Jesus was not a sinner who had lost his way like he had. Yet Jesus belonged there on the cross. We read again some words from Isaiah. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Holy Son of God was guilty, guilty of every single sin ever thought, every single sin ever said, and every single sin ever acted on. And that's why his Father turned his back on him, forsook his Son, and allowed him to suffer damnation. Are our hearts not touched when we hear Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Yes, Jesus was guilty, guilty because the whole sins of the whole world were heaped upon his soul, and hell was extracting the full punishment from him. Guilty because even though he never lost his way, he was suffering for all of those who had lost their way, for every lost sinner. So let's put ourselves in this thief's place. We can't crawl back up on a cross like he was and be crucified like he was. But we can look at him and see in him ourselves. We can see that we too are dying thieves, and that we all had coming what our deeds deserved. You see, in God's judgment, he doesn't judge in his law by sliding scale, like murder and muggings are way up here, and unkind words and immoral thoughts are way down here. He doesn't condemn adultery and abortion, but then kind of overlook greed and also gossip. Sin in his eyes is sin. And every single sin condemns. Every single sin in my heart, in my voice, in my actions, earns for me and for you the horrors of hell and damnation. The question is, do we really believe that? Do we believe that when we push our Savior off the throne of our heart because of our sinful greed, when we gossip about our neighbor or covet our neighbor's money or his fame or his spouse, or say some not only unkind but words that are curses and swearing, when we've had sinful thoughts, do we truly believe that in those moments we are earning ourselves, earning for ourselves, damnation, eternal death, separation from God forever? The more we realize our lost condition, the greater will be our appreciation for the fact that Jesus stayed up there on the cross, even when he was tempted to come down from the cross to prove his godliness. The more we appreciate that Jesus went to the full length of drinking that cup to the very last drop to give to us salvation and everlasting life. There's no way that we can steal heaven. It's not ours to get. The criminal there on the cross didn't just see that Jesus was innocent of any crime. He also had faith worked in his heart. Now, we don't know much about that thief on the cross. We don't know whether he was raised by pious parents and had been told when he was little about the coming Messiah and all about the Messiah's life and what he would do, and then he rejected it, and then now at the end of his life, he remembered it? Or we don't know whether he had heard Jesus' words on the way to the cross and on the cross, and how he prayed for his murderers and said he was separated from God, and that then was a law and gospel sermon that he heard and faith was written in his heart. Or we don't even know if he was listening to the accusations, how they were saying things about Jesus that were really true, even though they were mocking him, and that maybe worked faith in his heart. But we do know that while he was on the cross there, he came to faith in Jesus. And he prayed to the Lord, and he cried out to him, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Look what he asked for. He asked for a share in Jesus' kingdom. Not the top position or highest place. He's asking just for a crumb. Just give me anything, Lord. Give me the peace of knowing that I'll be part of your kingdom. Don't let my sins bar the way to that kingdom that I know you rule over. All alone, that thief knew that he could not enter eternity and face a righteous God. But with Jesus on his side, with him living in those loving yet bloody hands of Christ, he could face God. The way to heaven, the only way to heaven, was through that very person dying right next to him. And his eyes of faith have been opened by the Holy Spirit to see in Jesus his one and only Savior. This repentant, believing thief asked for heaven. And look what Jesus gave to him. He said, "Assuredly I say to you," or "I tell you the truth." You know when the one who rules heaven and earth speaks? It's as good as done. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Yes, for the next few hours, he would gasp for breath. His tortured body would struggle to stay alive. His legs would be broken to hasten that death of suffocation. And yet, that very day, not years down the road, but that very day, his soul would enter into paradise. His cross would be changed for a crown, and his soul would be lifted up to heaven's glory. Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me." Those two words really summarize what heaven's all about. Heaven is standing in front of, face to face with our Savior Jesus in all of its glory. "You'll be with me in paradise," the Savior concluded. Really, that morning, where was that thief? He's in a prison cell somewhere. And he was being brought out so that he could pay his final debt to society, die. And he was hanging on the cross. The pits of hell, the jaws of hell were eager, open, to ready to receive him. And Satan was ready to take another one into hell itself. But by late afternoon, early evening, that thief had gone from the jaws of hell to the doors of heaven. Even though his body was beaten and tortured, his ears heard those glorious words, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And when he died, his soul was taken to be with the Lord. The best place for that thief to have been on that very day was right there on the cross, right next to Jesus. He didn't lose his life in dying. He gained everlasting life. He learned that you cannot steal heaven by being good in your life, or even by trying really, really hard at the last moment of your life. But the Lord stole him from the jaws of hell, from Satan's grasp, from the pits of eternal death, and raised him up to everlasting life, promised to him heaven because of his death. That was the promise from our Savior for him. And that's the same promise that Jesus gives to every single one of us. There's no way by our goodness we could earn heaven or everlasting life. There's no way that when we're dying, we can say, I'm going to really, really, really be good now, just before I die, and try my best. Can't do that. But we know that when we die, Jesus promised us that he has earned heaven for us, that we will be raised from our graves, our bodies will be glorified, we'll be reunited with our souls, and we'll live forever with him in glory. By God's grace, you and I know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We've all heard the passage of Jesus, I am the way, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way. He's the only way we can enter into our Heavenly Father's house. With his death and resurrection as full payment for all of our sins, Jesus asks nothing from us because he gave everything he had for us. May the God of all grace keep our faith focused upon Jesus and his cross, and realize that as this thief, this believing thief, gained life by his death, so do we. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.